degree of Geshe Larampa, which is the highest degree one can achieve in the Tibetan Buddhist Gelug tradition. And Rinpoche is recognized by all the world's greatest scholars, including His Holiness the Dalai Lama, as one of the greatest living beings who understands the Sutra and Tantra tradition of Buddhism. So anywhere in the world, it would be rare to have this opportunity to hear these holy words spoken by someone who's heard them in the oral tradition in an unbroken lineage, all the way going back to Nagarjuna and his spiritual sons. So we're so fortunate to have this opportunity. And if we not only take this opportunity at this moment to receive imprints and obtain some wisdom from hearing, but if we also start to try to practice what we're learning today and what we've been learning over the last 20 or more years Rinpoche's been here, then we can actually have realizations into this doctrine. So we're so fortunate that we have a guide who meets all the qualifications of a lama to do that for us. And because of impermanence, we have no idea whether we will be here even tomorrow or in an hour. So we have to make use of every moment that we can to try to move forward to gain some sort of spiritual growth or to have some sort of spiritual growth, because we do know that we have afflictions, we have obstructions to these negativities and faults. And the way we can prove it is that we're sitting here with suffering. We haven't transcended the truth of suffering. So since that hasn't occurred, since we haven't gotten rid of what causes suffering, here we abide in our cyclic existence. And the only way that we can be free from all that we suffer is by applying these practices. So we'll get started with the introductory prayers of mandala offering, and then the prayer of refuge in bodhicitta, and we'll get started right away. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas High, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Vedam Gaurana Mandala Gandhiradaya. Yeah.
So again, welcome everyone to Rinpoche's teaching on Nagarjuna's precious garland. Before we get started, Rinpoche wanted to talk briefly about the stages of the path to enlightenment. So for many, many years, over 10, Rinpoche blessed us with a teaching on the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment. And that teaching is actually being made into Tibetan texts. So we're very fortunate for many reasons that's happening. And one of the greatest reasons is that we've received all these teachings just in a live translation. But nobody's taken Rinpoche's words and stood back with a moment to make sure that everything's exactly there, nothing has been missed, and that all of the extensive details that may at the time, as we keep going back years, and still are, maybe over my head or ability or aptitude or skill set to be able to really purely translate it. So now we're gonna have the ability to go back with the pure Tibetan that's been transliterated by a great scholar, being transliterated by a great scholar in Boston. I believe, and are in coordination with. There's a couple of people, but there's one main person working on it. I haven't been given permission to say their name or anything like that, so I just don't know. It's a project that they want, you know, brought out publicly yet, but it is an ongoing project that Rinpoche has spoken about and that I do know is going on, so we're very fortunate to have that. So what is in that material that we're talking about? Why did Rinpoche spend, you know, half of the time that he's been here on that one text? And if you look at what he did before that, he taught Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, which is considered the root text for this text. So why did Rinpoche spend most of his time with us on that information? What was the reason for that? And he used to call it the Lam Rim gun, like bringing the Lam Rim gun, like the big gun. And what did that mean? What did that mean? And it means more and more to me every year. And it is that it's so useful to destroy our afflictions. It really is. It's so useful for us, if we want to be able to improve a little bit every day, if we apply the Lam Rim, we will. I don't always apply the Lam Rim every day, so I don't improve every day. But it's a guarantee that if I apply the Lam Rim teachings every day, I improve a little bit, because I have to improve a little bit, because I'm becoming more familiar with goodness. I'm becoming more familiar with what gets me out of cyclic existence than what binds me to it. So the more I'm familiar with that, the closer I'm getting to being free from what not being familiar with that causes, and that's cyclic existence. So when Lord Buddha gave the teachings in the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, and the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, his students' aptitude was very, very high. They had this ability to like hear the teaching and memorize it as the words were being said. And they had these very sharp capacities, which allowed them just in that, you know, sitting in those teachings, depending on the tradition, to like, you know, move to the state of Arya being, you know, just from hearing the Four Noble Truths. And they had this aptitude that was so high, they didn't need the kind of kindergarten, then first grade, then second grade, then third grade. They had the blessing of the Buddha and this perfect conditions that were there to be able to purely understand these teachings and then break them down into the categories that we see today. So the pronouncements of Lord Buddha are the sutras, the teaching and the teachings, the sutras, the tantras, the teachings that Buddha actually pronounced, said. And then we have 100 of those texts in Tibetan. Those texts are very encoded because they were taught to beings who were quite skillful and were quite smart. And then there were other teachings that were given on an array of topics that were given to scope. So at the time that teaching was being given, the scope of the individual and the Buddha were working on, you know, I'm sorry. So the Buddha was working within the scope of a specific individual when certain teachings were given. So then we have that within the pronouncements and the collections now that Lord Buddha gave, but without understanding the stages of the path and where each teaching fits into, it's hard for us to understand what was literal, what was figurative, what was spoken to that being specifically to scope. What is a Hinayana teaching? What is a Mahayana teaching? Without really understanding that framework, it'd be hard to look at the Buddha's pronouncements and say, oh, I know where to start and I know where to end. If you're very skillful, many beings are able to do so. But someone like me, it's just a lot of information that all sounds very useful, but is very hard to apply. So then the Indian commentators, these great masters such as Nagarjuna and Chandrakirti and Aryadeva, and then all of these other masters, like Baba Vega and Asanga and Haribhadra, and so many Indian masters then looked at this work and said, let me expand on what, you know, for people who are a little bit duller than the sharpest, let me expand on this information to make it make sense, put it into some categories in terms of tenets, and then start to work, you know, a framework. The tenets actually came quite later, but start to work a framework and view of views and pathways. And start to try to put it into a sensible organization of some sort, but still quite encoded, still really for people who are quite wise to be able to utilize, people who are really adept and scholarly. So then what happened was is these teachings went into Tibet like that. The pronouncements of Lord Buddha, the authentic Indian commentaries, they showed up into Tibet to people who were like, you know, sharp, but a lot of people like me who needed a little bit more understanding. So the teachings started to get convoluted and distorted in Tibet because there was so much information and there wasn't as much framework. And then there were the Bon tradition, and then there were some other traditions that were sneaking in, and it was all starting to get a little convoluted, and non-Dharma was starting to be understood as Dharma, et cetera, et cetera. And then people were seeing incompatibility in Sutra and Tantra. So Lord Atisha came to Tibet, and who was an Indian, and said, listen, this is how you would frame this up. He understood the scope of the beings in Tibet and understood what was happening. He understood that, wow, this language just got here. It's just like here. The language just got there, you know, and they're trying to root through all this information. And imagine if the language just got here and it was only the Kangjur and Tanjur. And then some people who kind of understood it and started understanding it more. So we're so fortunate. And why are we so fortunate? So what happens is Atisha then makes it in an order, puts it in what's called the stages of the path to enlightenment, makes it into three categories that then you can work with: small scope, medium scope, and great scope. And he wrote it in a very short poem though, but it was all there. So what happened? The old Kadampa masters, starting with Lama Tsongkhapa, and also we have in other traditions, but I'm speaking from the Gelupa tradition. And Gampopa also wrote Lamrim type texts, the jewel ornament for liberation, beautiful text. But I'm speaking in our tradition. Lama Tsongkhapa really just blazed open the understanding of the lamp of the path to enlightenment with so many different texts. The Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment, and then the abbreviated Lamrims, the abbreviated stages of the path, and then the texts which fit into it, the three principal paths, and the source of all, foundation of all good qualities. And then there's the medium Lamrim as well that we don't really spend much time with, but there's a medium one that's a couple hundred pages, I think. Well, I'm not that familiar with it, so I don't want to pretend to be, but it's a couple hundred, I think. The Lamrim Jin, then Shugong Nijia. Yeah, maybe 200 pages or so. So there's an extensive amount of information, and the most extensive amount of information is in Lama Tsongkhapa's Great Treatise on the Stages of the Path to Enlightenment. He tore open Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment, which tore open the great Indian pandits and the Buddha's words, and put them in this order, and then refined the order and refined the order and refined the order to the point where it's like, okay, first you do this. And it's so obvious, yet we don't really do it. We don't apply it like that, you know, looking at it like, first I realize this, then I realize that. Because, you know, with this Western education, it's so easy just to jump around and read books and have, you know, I have books all over the house going. And, you know, Atisha said something that interesting about realization and Tantra, actually, saying that, I'm loosely translating this, that the Tibetans have 1,000 deities and see none, and the Indians have one and see all, something like this. So sometimes it's better just to refine it, look at one specific thing, realize that, then move on and realize that. And I have the continuum that jumps around a lot. And that's why the Lamrim is so helpful. So the Atisha and then all these commentators said there's three categories. The first category shows how you get out of the lower realms of cyclic existence of the hell, hungry ghost, and animal. The Buddha stated, then Atisha commented, and Lama Tsongkhapa and all these pandits commented and said that if you go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, engage in ethics that abandons the non-virtuous 10 non-virtuous activities and acknowledge downfalls, then you'll be able to be free from the lower realms. Then the Buddha stated that if you go for the practice of three highest higher trainings, then you'll be able to be free from cyclic existence altogether and remove the afflictive obstructions. These were the teachings for beings of medium capacity. And then the teachings for beings of great capacity showed how one would be complete Buddha, remove not only of afflictive obstructions, but the obstructions to omniscience. And these teachings showed that one could couple the small and medium scope with generation of the mind that aspires to enlightenment and a practice of the six perfections. And by doing so, one would be able to be a Buddha. So this is what the teachings summarize as. And the precious garland contains all this same information, but isn't in that same order because it's an Indian master. It falls under the category of the authentic Indian commentaries. Sometimes it falls under the category of the six treatises of Nagarjuna. They're called something else. Compendium 6. What are they? What's the proper name? Yeah, the six, the Risudru. So this the Nagarjuna's collection of six, sometimes says collection of five, but this falls under the category of the authentic Indian commentary. So based on what I just said, it's not as clear because it is an authentic Indian commentary. It falls in the tenjer. So because of that, it's so helpful to understand the Lam Rim, the stages of the path to enlightenment teachings, to see, would this be a small, medium, great scope, or maybe a teaching that is compatible with all of them? And one can really see the order. Okay, Rinpoche. Diso, leo ngapa.
Tene janju senpa yi, tombo lo la, tene rodo chonwa yi, tombo lo la, gawisha. Susu taba dun che tan, mantu dun ten, Avaladin, tene rad shongore, tambo tene chutin lavalavu, chutin shongore, sala, raguja. Taba garil raguja, jana susu taba redun, glum pamani, gesu pamani, gluma, tene nene pamani, nene gdumba, what dun tele, susu taba redun, redje. Ale, Tubasha, Tua, Tua, Sanji, Tuba de, Tena, Jinde, Kunduzin, Chaba Diba, Chaba De, Seba Diba, Shabau. Yun Shindu, Tua de, Jun, Sanji, Jaju. Chadu de Jeje, Medadon, Sedanton Yu, Jibaye, Moza Metan, Timetan, Randa Jela, Menzebao, Sheba Duba, Menzebao, Kiban Duba, Menzebao, Yadon, Tree. Tebao, Jabba Teba, Pameba, Duana la Majuba, Majena Badun, Tenerado, Citizens, Naja Kimba Jabba, the longest hand of Jabba was Naja Kimba with it. This one is that Duana la Majuba. Naja Naba. Yum. Dining a day, she is yaw. Sugar Danny Chubba Chubba Tan Nabanduba, kind. Abba Naja Chubba Way Chubba Papa Lumbagan. Shinto, Tuzan, Tunyaba, Maja Lejan, Maja de Reji Tindo, Pumita, Shunwa Jindo, Tubaye, Tuayu, nyawa leba shejawa ngaba tumba tadala mobe ngaje jemba tho tena ngawo nyaba she ngawo nyaba she dema tuba tonya ba kai ngoba ngobe ngaje des dema matuba la tu nyaba de ngobe ngaje des dile jeba tuba ne kebe lobe ngaje tu dagu meba ni de je dani meba kai de mebi ngaje chejate rola rola meba mera tamba de mebi ngaje se deres tada ndu du sheba yi chuju nye da kuti sher ombo tumba sheba te kaza she da kuti sher kuti sher chenyo nga na ho ho Jounon dene toji jere jenji zela han jeba wo toji jewa nyebi jere pe nyeba jochon jizene te jeba jiyonwa ke rwa jidea tenwa tenzare ngonzon jela pe jeba Nyebe nala ndu matu bala hanshe bawo gyundu jenji chuju ba tata tene kaan du bawo ome suzu matapar Nele jubi suma wo. Kuncha dagi yuji nge chaba lelo tenji yin. Tati yuji kan chadan meji ziba wo. Yila meji anyi te senla tawa meba shi. Tumba shawa nane ne. Lelu yung kuti nyeba gong lama chungten tumi te chu ngeba yinba du shenba kuen ne tiba chung debi leja le chung wang wu yung jen deba le chung yu kuen ne tiba chewa yi chaba rangi zela ne chabi indio cha dambi yi jenji zela shenba ne meri chaba sheja wu. Onja pime cha tuba chuma yinbi indio cha wu. Indio cha su dilu yunten menjin du yunten denba chuchu ba wu. Dechen shintu kamba de chushi pe la dawa wu. Tundu dhani jine chan yuete yada denshi mezu neba sheba tan dungen ta chan mezu ba wu. Chume lupin lama yi shewa nala mago ba wu. Kalu dewa mayi kan chutun tima mago ba wu. Nyedu la sham cha ba wu. Tijin, yuzi, tijin to, ti yun ten gyo ba wu. Tijin, meche toba ga chi jiba ma to ba wo
chi shin ang ng ji ke zu
ya
de nan je e wa dun la guo ya bu dui han to dui okay so let me go back. Okay, so chapter 5, stanza 401 is where we begin. Where did we? 25, 35? I'll know when we get there. Then, having become a monastic, you should first be intent on training in ethics. You should endeavor at the discipline of individual liberation, adhering frequently and delineating their meaning. So here, it says that then having become a monastic, because if we look at the last chapter, it says if the unrighteousness of the world becomes too much for you to rule religiously, then it is right for you to become a monastic. So then it moves on and says, and having become a monastic, you should look at the individual liberation vows, which I feel is inferred if you've become a monastic. But here it's saying that the foundation of the monastic practice is ethical discipline. And if we divide individual liberation vows, we can divide them into 7 lifetime vows or just 8 individual liberation vows. And the reason for that is there is a one-day vow, which isn't a lifetime vow, that is held for a 24-hour period that makes, it would be in the first part of the vows, but that makes number 8. So if you say, why wouldn't it be 7? You could say 7 lifetime vows, but 8 individual liberation vows. And he would say Charpa Majong. If it's an individual liberation vow, it's not necessarily a lifetime vow. Posit that which is a lifetime vow, not a lifetime vow, but individual liberation vow. It's this Nyanegi Dumba, this one day vow. And there's a more proper, what's a more proper translation of Nyanye? Which is, they just use Upasata. Just one day. Yeah. Yeah, I saw a fancy word for it once. I thought there was like something I just didn't know. Okay, so it's the one day vow. It's the only one within those individual liberation vows that are one day vow. So it's 24-hour holding vows. And it's quite similar to the Mahayana one day vow without the intent of the vow. Very similar when I saw it. But look further into it and verify that. Then the lifetime vows start with the layperson vow for the male and the layperson vow for the female. Identical vows, but they just divide it. One's for male, one's for female. So now we have 3. Then there is the novice, monk, and nun vow. So there's novice vows for monks and nuns. So now we've gotten 2, 5. Then there's a probationary nun vow. Probationary period between going, it's a vow you take between the novice nun vow and fully ordained nun vow. Then the next is the vow for full ordination. Those are 2, fully ordained monk's vow, fully ordained nun's vows. Those vows are not the same vows. They're different vows, but they all are intent on the same point, renunciation. And culturally, certain vows came, and also the probationary vow was also had something to do, I read in a commentary, with making sure that pregnancy or something like that. I think it's held for 9 months or something. Is that correct, Losanla? 2 years. But is it something like this? Yeah, so it's something like this. And culturally, that was something that happened. So everything that got written for a reason. But you have to see if the reason was chauvinistic reasons or if it was a reason, you know? I mean, when we look at everything the Buddha said, even the Buddha said, if this culturally doesn't fit, you know, you have to adapt these teachings. This is a living tradition that gets adapted. You know, we have filtration systems in our water now. We have different things that are going to make monks and nuns behavior appear differently because it's a different time. When we look at all of the vows, we have to have a good spiritual guide to be able to work through those things to make sure that we aren't freestyling and saying, well, that was then, and this is now, because there were really good reasons for certain things at the time. So I remember when I first started, I was a lot more revolutionary than I am now, I guess. I guess I've settled down on my revolution and started to see the reasoning on some of it and seeing some of it needed revolution, but there's like historical things that happened that made certain things a certain way. And we can't change those historical things, but we can work within the truth now. So that's how the individual liberations break down. The vows break down into 8 vows, but 7 of them are the lifetime vows. And you can't take a lower vow than you have. So for instance, if you're a novice monk or nun, you can't take a layperson vow. You can't take a one-day vow. You can always take a higher vow, but you can't take a lower vow. But because the Mahayana one-day vow is a bodhisattva vow, even though it appears just like the one-day vow, it's a different vow because it's with the intent of bodhicitta. So it's a bodhisattva activity. So you are allowed to, as a monk or nun, fully ordained, to take the Mahayana one-day vow. So I just don't want to, we're saying one-day vow. I know we do that a lot at the center. I don't want those one-day vows to be confused. Rinpoche, nga de techen sojongi domba nye domba, nye nege domba kakare, then gulom pai domba yuna, nye ne domba ra chogumare, nye ne gulom pai domba yuna, Techen pai techen sojongi domba digre. Okay, so I just wanted to explaining that what I just said. So anyway, let's move on. Then you should forsake these which are called assorted faults with vigor. You should definitely realize those renowned as the 57. Belligerence is a disturbance of mind. Enmity is a tight hanging into that. Concealment is a hiding of ill deeds. When confronted, malevolence is to cling to ill deeds. Rinpoche, sujachu. Dissimulation is deceptiveness. Deceit is crookedness of mind. Jealousy is to be bothered by others' good qualities. Miserliness is a fear of giving. Non-shame and non-embarrassment are insensibly concerning oneself and others, respectively. Inflatedness is not to pay respect. Faulty exertion is to be polluted by belligerence. Arrogance is haughtiness due to wealth and so forth. Non-conscientiousness is non-application at virtues. Pride has 7 forms, of which I will explain. So when we divide pride, we can divide it into 7. Pride, and they'll give a short definition because these definitions come right out of pensions texts and so forth. So I trust them because I've just found too many times them to be that for me not to. So if there's any error in this, it's usually like a left or a right tiny bit. So I just bow down to Jeffrey Hopkins and translators like Jeffrey Hopkins. And I'm not going to give the full list because then I could leave one off. And all of you others, just for the effort that was put in to make these texts available and clear and to try to, from nothing, create a lexicon of subtlety. And I just bow down to all of you translators because I'm not one of you. I'm someone who can interpret Rinpoche's teachings and somehow I have the skill in kind of explaining them. But when it comes to this scholastic just work that gets done, I don't understand how they do it. And I'm just bow down to all these translators who are so good. So pride divided into 7 categories. First, pride, puffing up of the mind, thinking that one is superior to lower persons. Number 2, excessive pride, a puffing up of the mind, thinking that one is superior to equal persons. Then pride beyond pride, puffing up of the mind, thinking that one is greatly superior to even persons who are superior to others. And then pride of thinking I, a puffing up of the mind, observing the appropriated aggregates of the mind and body and thinking I is concrete. Pride of conceit, a puffing of the mind, thinking that one has attained that which one has not attained, such as clairvoyance or some sort of meditative stabilization. Pride of slight inferiority, a puffing up of mind thinking that one is just a little lower than others who are actually greatly superior. And then pride, wrongful pride, a puffing up of the mind thinking that one has attained auspicious qualities when one is actually deviated from the path, such as claiming high attainments when one has actually been carried off by a spirit. So here's all kinds of opportunities for us to be prideful, not only when we think we're great, when we think we're not great. So when we think we're the worst, So we could be the best or the worst. Like, I remember I had on my refrigerator, the Dalai Lama gave a little speech on this. And it was like, you know, about pride and, you know, think, you know, getting depressed and thinking that no one is worse than me. And I am the worst in the world. And, you know, no one should be around me is pride, is thinking like, you know, how could you be the worst? You can't possibly be the worst. That's pride. That was really helpful for me. It was on my fridge for a long time. Fancying that one is lower than the lowest. So now it's going to go through it. Equal with the equal, greater than to or equal to the lowly. All are called the pride of selfhood. Boasting that one is equal to those who by some good quality are superior to oneself is called exceeding pride. Fancying that one is superior to the superior. Thinking that one is higher than the high is pride beyond pride. Like sores on an abscess, it's very vicious. Conceiving an eye through obscuration in the five empty aggregates, which are called appropriation, is said to be the pride of thinking eye. Thinking one is one fruits of spiritual path not yet attained is the pride of conceit. Praising oneself for faulty deeds is known by a wise as erroneous pride. Deriding oneself, thinking I am useless, is called the pride of inferiority. Such is a brief description of the seven prides. So you see it's identical to the summary that we find in Meditation on Emptiness. Thank you, Professor Hopkins. For that. Okay, so yeah, Rinpoche is saying there's a lot. The Injike Kanga, and so there, we're not going to read all of it. Hypocrisy is control the senses for the sake of goods and respect. Flattery is to speak pleasant phrases for the sake of goods and respect. Indirect acquisition is to praise another's wealth in order to acquire it. Pressured acquisition is to manifest derision of others in order to acquire goods. Desiring profit from profit is to praise previous acquisitions. Repeating faults is to recite again and again the mistakes made by others. Non-collectedness is inconsiderate irritation arisen from illness. Clinging is the attachment of the lazy to their bad possessions. Discrimination of difference is discrimination impeded by desire, hatred, or obscuration. Not looking into the mind is explained as not applying it to anything. The generation of respect and reverence for deeds concordant with the practices occurs through laziness. A bad person is regarded as being a spiritual guide to have the ways of the supreme victor. Yearning is a small entanglement arising from a lustful desire. Obsession, a great entanglement arising from desire. Shulkangamwa. Avarice is an attitude of clinging to one's own property. Inopportune avarice is attachment to property of others. Irreligious lust is desirous praise of women who ought to be avoided. Hypocrisy is to pretend that one possesses good qualities that one lacks while desiring ill deeds. So remember, he's talking now to someone who is ordained. And, you know, at this point in the text, Nagarjuna is speaking to someone who he has given advice to and is advising the ordained, and it's a male. So it's saying, you know, so always remember who the audience is when we're reading texts. In Shanti Davis' text, we find a whole point about meditation on impurity and ugliness. And it looks like it's deriding a woman's body, but it's being spoken to a man who needs to get rid of that attachment. It was spoken to a group of men who are trying to get rid of attachment and who are trying to be celibate. So you have to look at the context for everything. Great desire is extreme greed gone beyond the fortune of knowing satisfaction. Desire for advantage is to want to know whatever way is being superior, good qualities. Non-endurance is an ability to bear injury and suffering. Impropriety is not respect the activities of a teacher or a spiritual guide. Not heeding advice is not respect counsel concordant with practice. Intention to meet with relatives is in sentimental attachment to one's kin. Attachment to objects is to rate their good qualities in order to acquire them, fancying immortality to be unaffected by concern over death. So we're going to stop at 4:25. And anybody have questions? And I'll say the questions today into the camera. Yes, Alessandra. Okay, Contriwa. Yes. Yes.
Someone who's born as an American who may have had past lifetimes, they're confused. They are confused about what I might have done or might not have done in a past lifetime. And I want to take a vow, but I need to take a vow that's appropriate. Do I take one to what I understand in this lifetime?
Kashe ngatsu the jewa ngama dan jewa shema kelen ngatsu ngatsu chu. So I just want to clarify your question. So Buddhism believes that everyone has beginningless lives. So we believe that everyone has beginningless lives, but the only thing that we're really in control of, in a way, is what we do in this life. And as a result, we have a little control over our future lives, because what we do in this life will then generate some sort of experience in the future. So that those are the kind of controls that we have that we're working within. What would happen in our previous lives? Well, everything happened in our previous lives. Everything we can think of happened. We were ants, we were dogs, cats, monks, gods, hell beings, hungry ghosts, because we've had beginningless lives. So it only follows that we must have concordance with all of those things if we can see them now. Then Jewa Ngama, dan jewa ngama shina shira ke chembu du de tanda ngatsu chu nya len che de dumba gari len de dansi tan dumba len de gari yakshu jewa ngama shingu
jo ngama shira ke chembu shi da de shima ngama
Lesser. Natsu nya len the dumba dan dansi gari len shin tugudu. The jewa ngama the mushe gugumarabe. Then the gangisin the jewa ngama shina mushe gudu. Okay. Then the jewa ngama nga yida ngawa then the kanje. Then the Nushe Mena Kanje Hakodu. Danda, okay. Ine the Ngang, the Jewa Ngama Ngang Yawa, the Dutsu Gare, then a dig down, so then the low Gatsu. Okay. Okay. Less so. Okay. Then the Tanda Ngang Nushe Yomare, then Tanda Ng, the Jewa Shema Ng, Chikshina Yure Gang is a Tetsum Chikshina, Gang is a Danda Gom Mamu Jason. Ine Ng, Jewa Shemang Hlayan, the Lama Mil, the Yidayang Ash Shintugumari, Nangisin and Ang Rishime. The Mashina, the Gom Kandreyash, Gariakshu, Dumba Len Gariakshu, Kandreshin. Gangisin of the Natsu, Jewa Nama, Megyawa, the Dampacha Pongu, the Natsu Gewa, Deepa Dalbu. Then the Kandre, the Lapcha Gu. I have a bunch of info to give you. I'm just putting together the rest of it. My Tibetan's not as good as the complexity that I just tried to present. I tried to go a lot of layers. So the Tanda the Nga Jewa Shima Shingmare. Jewa Shima Dayan Da Shintu Du Yine Ngawa Yida the Garre Mushe Mena Nga Shime. Then the Nge Pacha Garre, Nga the Nyomong Garre, the Nge Le Garre, Shingamare, Gangisin the Nga Jewa Wama, the Garre, Leka Garre, Nashin. Then Nge Deepa Le Garre, Data Garre, Nge Data Shingme. Then the Chu Nyalan Gari Akshu Kandre Hakovudu. Gangisin the Nga Jewa Wama, the Deepa Nishime. Then deepa da, deepa gare da, kanje shi. Kanje shi.
Deepa da, deva nga tu chujo na chava ka ta na gandua. Then da apres, kawa tu na, deepa wa ta na gandua, chujo wa na.
Yene, de nga tu, de tanda, de shamba gongja na, de kontro nyepo, sheda nyepo. Yene, de nge pakcha nga shi me. Yene, de nga gong gari yakshu kanje. Andre, she, Gangsenenge pacha sheme.
Kare ya bate.
I see what you're
saying. Sonje gsonje gakebi jula tani chegre.
Okay. So the gari chesho de nyepo.
Nyepo kare ya jude. Sonje gsonje nalenta kebatu jula tani kogre.
Okay, so those are the best antidotes, whatever the Buddha said in the Mahayana pastors. Okay. So first we have to establish this idea that Buddhists all if one is Buddhist, yes, I would say in Buddhism, not if one is Buddhist, we don't have to say that, but we can say that Buddhism, Buddha always asserts past and future lives. And it's the basis of the whole idea of what Buddha is transcending, what Buddha transcended, and so forth, and what Buddha is positing. So Buddha is positing that there's beginningless lives and that there's no end to the future in terms of continuum of consciousness, that this consciousness that we presently abide in, not the person that's the consciousness is encased in, if you will, careful with that, but we'll go with that. The consciousness, not the person the consciousness is encased in. And when I say person, not Jeff, if you will, not the Jeff, the thing that the consciousness that Jeff has, that whoever in the previous life, there was a consciousness there. It might have been a hell being, for instance, but it wasn't Jeff. But the consciousness, that continuum was the same. And in the future, the continuum will be the same. Just what's in that continuum? Kind of what its contents are will change. My contents are mix of non-virtue and virtue, so I can't experience only happiness. I can experience some happiness because I have virtue, so when those arise and create experience, I'm happy. But I can't always have happiness because I also have non-virtue too in that continuum, so sometimes I suffer. So that continuum keeps going. We keep putting stuff in it with our actions, planting seeds with our actions, and it just keeps going and going and going. And what the Buddha figured out is that if a man or woman or whatever, a person, we're humans, so we have, if a person applies certain things, they could get rid of all the negativities and only have goodness. But if you didn't get rid of all the negativities, there'd be no way to always have goodness. Even if there was one tiny one left, it would create a storm of suffering sooner or later. So according to Buddha, what the Buddha did was figure out how to get rid of all the things that cause suffering, and then all the things that cause one to not know everything. So the Buddha's whole intent was to show us how to not suffer ever again. And within that explanation taught some other things. And how, while not suffering ever again, you can be omniscient. Because that's what the Buddha is. A being that never suffers again that's omniscient. So Buddhism always says that there's beginningless lives no matter who you are. And you've done so many different things that needing to know the subtlety of who you were, what you did, and when you did it is called extremely hidden phenomena. And it's not something you can understand without clairvoyance, without a level of concentration, without a level of clairvoyance, those exact details. So you'll never be able to really know unless you have some special powers. Most people don't. That's my saying. Most people don't. Most people who say they do don't. And those who do never say they do. Special powers are rare. Special powers aren't on corners of streets every five blocks. Special powers are one in our lifetime, 5, 10, 15 in the whole world. We'll see mostly none of them. So all we can rely on is our analysis and get to a point where we believe that it's possible and probable, and then yes, it is, and then I know it is, that there are past and future lives. What they were exactly, without clairvoyance and special powers, we won't know exactly. Even if someone tells us, we don't know if they're right because we don't know what their mind is. We don't. We can have faith. Faith doesn't work great a lot of times. You know, faith is the foundation that we need, but just faith without works is dead. That's an old Christian saying, I think, right? Faith without works is dead. That's Buddhism 101. Faith without works is dead. You get faith, we'll give you imprints and stuff. So I guess it's not dead. So we wouldn't say that. You do get virtue, but it's a foundation. But from that foundation, you really need to practice. So you have faith in somebody, but that doesn't change anything really about what you need to do as an individual to move forward as a practitioner. So what Rinpoche said is that we need to meditate on the signs. How do we know we had a previous life? What is this moment we're having? It's from a previous moment. It's from a previous moment. We can trace it back to our birth, if you will. Where did that come from? That came from a previous moment in the intermediate state. It came from the previous moment, which was, you know, moment, back to our previous life, back to that previous life's intermediate state. So we start to meditate on that, and we see this beginningless continuum. And then that's how we start to believe in past lives and future lives. We start to meditate on, in the future, we will, where did all of these corpses come from? They came from people who are dead. And where did all these beings come from? From all of those corpses. Where are all these babies and bunnies and ants and hell beings coming from? They're coming from all the corpses we see. All the bug corpses and all the rabbit corpses and all the corpses now are born somewhere within 49 days somewhere and are something within the six realms of cyclic existence. And that will go on and on and on and on and on beyond our control. We will be forced into the five aggregates, among those five aggregates again and again and again, until we get rid of every single thing which causes it to happen. Every single thing that causes us to suffer. And once that's done, it's done forever. So Rinpoche said that we have to look at what's best for our practice, and what's best is what the advice was given of Buddha Shakyamuni, the Buddhas, and those of the Indian Pandits. Those are the advices we should listen to when we look for information. Rinpoche. Then ye the lapcha lasa. Rinpoche sleeps like 5 seconds a day, so like this. All right, next question. Yes, Dan. The kon the chiran kabadanson, then kon kamba, the rugu ru yure. Then kon gar ru kerna deepasa gamari, then chiran lasa. The drama zonga dana then tomba ni the gonja then the care digre. Yeah. I was telling him that you were the one who texted about the ashes, the corpse. He has some ashes in a tree they need, and it was near a tree they want to remove. Do you mind?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm just sharing private information. As a translator, I should never do that. And wanted to know what kind of ritual to do, because there's these ashes, the tree needs to be removed because it's a danger to the house. And now there's another person doesn't even know about, that's asking the same question. So it must be like, Wow. Yeah, it must be like in the air. So Rinpoche said to, you know, meditate on emptiness and do the Tara mantra.
Tara mantra, kashi puto na.
Yeah. And if you can blow the Tara mantra onto the ashes or the corpse or the bones, then it will allow that being's continuum to be elevated to the higher realms, forced to the higher realms. That condition will be part of their experience. Tara will help them.
Yeah.
They're lucky you bought their house, huh? It's a problem for the new owner. So Dan has, I think I said enough for the people on this to be clear, and I didn't ask Alessandra's question, but it was pretty clear. It was just about how to know what to practice if you don't know what your past and future lives are.
If you have somebody in your life very close, daily interaction, very close, and they have PTSD, which is a brain injury that puts you in often or constant fear, irrational fear that something bad is going to happen to you. You can't ration with it. But results in a lot of self-destructiveness, very difficult to watch, yeah. to be a part of.
Yeah.
As their partner, as their someone who's completely integrated in their life, is there any words of advice about how
sure
you can serve both? You can serve them without going to saint.
Kon triwa ke chempo de salo dano na vene de triwa de is it I have to ask specifically, it's someone in your home? Okay.
My wife.
Okay. Kon jemen is sem natsa yore nyomba de yene natsa yen then kon da de lama do I explain PTSD? Is that going to be helpful? I don't think so. He's going to think something just happened yesterday and he's going to worry. Okay. Hypotheticals are not the example. Okay. Okay. Ngama the kon jemen pugudu the kon paba da ama shu mambo jason the kon dugnyao mambo du the kon dugnyao shira chambo du den sun sang teng sang kon sem natsa cheson kon dakpar shegudu kon de control tsapo the control le lang le labu yondu then dakpar kali kapudu then kon roba chena sansan kali kapudu gangin sena the sen natsa yure then chiran lapcha yurebe gangin sena kon shamba yure yine sansan de kali kapudu ngatsu shanchu semba yomare then ngatsu shanchu semba mayena the zupa gon sansan kale kapudu. Then a lapcha garre, gangisina de kon pumo ropa chegu. Yine sansan kon kale kapuchabudu. Gangisina kon pumo ropa chegu. Then a de sem arila de me mambo. De sem natsa de ming yure. The chich gimbadra jakar dan pupa yure. Yine ming yomare. The geshe aga, nga kon sha nala, the becha yure, PTSD, the PTSD, the chuchen, the mambo nangla yure, the sem natsa, the ngama, the geshe aga, kugudu, kalikapudu, kon paba ara mambo kinsu, kon kalikapu, then kon kalikapu chasa. Then the yuna, lapcha garre, So the may te, you know, the con the chama tona, the con chan tongamare, con sem kali kapudu. So here we're seeing culture colliding. It says give a little alcohol, like alcohol, maybe make the mind a little calmer. This is what he said, right? Okay, let's make sure, because it's not. Oh, okay, all right. So the tanda chiran lapcha ga nga denden lagu. Then the kon the ngama the kali kapudu. Then tanda kon sem nyuma dan rabudu kon sem is natsa yure. Then kon dakpar shegudu. Kon the chang tongumare. The chang lapcha chang dets tona? Gari lapcha garre remche.
Chang tani the matone abres. Get the tonguva yena nyun yu tours.
Okay.
Saji ngala tumba ma naji.
That sounds more okay. Less so. Selpudu nga de long shingdu. Then the lapcha kon lapcha gare. The gangasin the jemen yamdu. Then kon jemen kali kapudu. Kon jemen dakpar shegudu. Dakpar ngudu. Sansan long longdu. Then lapcha gare.
That jamel robujeres robuje and robujear mar jenjeayo mar
jenjeayo mar me jenda robuje gugumare ale there's no another gangisine kon jamen shen the There's not another you have to do. Yeah, okay. I want to make sure. This is such important advice when it comes to things like this. So the Shen, there's nothing else to do. The reason I said that it had the confusion is culturally there is that idea, and he said there were people in his village that they would, before, this is not these days, we're in the 30s, 40s we're talking, you know what I mean, when he was a little kid in his village, and that's his frame of reference, they would give alcohol at times, and they said it'd make him happy, but in this case that's not what is being explained. I'm just explaining why I had the confusion, because of a frame of reference that I came to the table with that was inaccurate. So he must have had some inference about the alcohol. So he said if they could decrease of alcohol, drinking would be helpful. Drinking maybe a little bit is okay. But what the Buddha said about it is that if you drink as much alcohol as that fits on a, if you are my student, you shouldn't drink even as much alcohol as will fit on a blade of grass. Buddha really spoke about abandoning alcohol very strongly. But Rinpoche is saying if that can't be the case, the number one thing is to abandon alcohol altogether. But if you don't abandon it altogether, then only drink a little, not drink so much. So that's important. And he said, what can you do? The only thing you can do is help her. Try to help her as best you can. Make sure that she goes to the doctor and takes medicine that is supposed to be taken. And then if you both can recite the mantra of Tara, Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, you recite it and you can teach it to her, show her how to recite it. The mantra has great power. When we look at the breakdown of Tara's mantra, the Om Tare, the first Tare speaks of liberation from cyclic existence. That's what it's implied within the first Tare, is a liberator. A Tara is a liberator. And this means a liberator from cyclic existence. And then the next, it says a liberator from fear. So here we're speaking of the fears and so forth. So this mantra has the ability to free one from fears and so forth. And then a liberator of illness, a freed one can be free from illness. So the first Tare is liberator from cyclic existence. Tu Tare is a liberator from fear. Tu Re is a liberator from illness or sickness or disease. And Soha is it will be done, or as it is, or so many translations. It's like a slamming a gavel, like when the judge is done. That's what I've heard a lot of, more than once. So I use that one. It's like the gavel comes down and then, so it is said, bang. So if you can, both, if she can recite, you can recite the mantra, is a great benefit and can maybe be helpful in this case. Is there anything else I missed? I don't think so. Okay. The digurbe. Okay, so he says it's hot maybe. Coleman Triwa. Let me see if there's questions here too. And we'll do the questions up. I just closed Zoom, so I don't know what that's going to do. That may be not good. Hold on. I can't see. I may have closed Zoom. It's possible. Daniel Rodman. All right. Zoom just brought the question. I closed it and it brought the question up. That's weird. It has been said that the mind and matter are mutually exclusive. And yet I believe it has been also taught their consciousness or mind depends on or rides on their winds, which is matter. If this is the case, mind or consciousness dependent on matter or the winds, is this correct? How does the dynamic of consciousness depending on the winds work? Okay, so when things are mutually exclusive, it doesn't mean that they don't have interaction. It just means that they don't have a common locus. So you can't find an example where there is something that is both of those subjects. So the word mutually exclusive doesn't mean that they can't have anything to do with one another. When we use mutually exclusive, we mean that there's no common locus between the two topics. So when you see the topic mind and consciousness and the topic form, we say they're mutually exclusive. And he's asking, well, if the mind rides on the wind in Tantra, it can still ride on the wind, but you know, you can't find a common locus between mind and form. So that's all it really means. It's a way to differentiate phenomena and understand how to have a framework for understanding what something is so that you can get to an object of negation. Rinpoche, the Sheba dans Zu, Gyawa Yin, Mitriwa. Dene, the Gyawa Yina, Dene, the Ngala, the Sheba dans Long, Jawa Yore. Gangisin, the Sheba, the Long Gang La Jodu. Dene, the Kandre Gyawa Yin. Gangisena the Jawa Yure, the Kontriwa, then Ne the Segadu. The Gyawa Yin Kashe Jawa Yure. Gyawa Yin the Yincha Yincha Yomare.
Pama the Bogun Gyawarwa Jawa Yuro.
Yeah. So you see that a parent and their child are mutually exclusive, but they have a connection. So the parent's not the child, the child's not the parent, but you have a connection there. Okay, one last question then. Rinpoche said it's hot, so. Triwa, you're it.
Good morning, Khetri Rinpoche, Khetri Wandak, and John. I've come here today not only to listen to the teaching, but also to clear some confusion I think I may have caught.
Okay.
I asked Khetri Nima to teach me Tibetan.
Okay.
And he agreed.
Okay.
I'm currently learning the Tibetan alphabet under his tutelage.
Yes.
It felt only natural because over the last year, we have become very good friends. However, I apologize to you, Rinpoche, and Jeff for not asking permission to learn Tibetan from you two first.
Oh, what? Yeah.
And just out of respect to the text out of the 50 verses of Guru Devotion, I ask your permission that I continue to be tutored in Tibetan language under guidance.
Yes, and Rinpoche gave you the advice to do that already. So you didn't do it without permission. He's Rinpoche, kon shegdu gangesine de kon tanda puke jangudu. Geshe nima puke trigudu. Yine kon the geshe nima the puke chi digre digamare the chiran triwa jama son. Then chiran kon sawa lama yin. Then the Lama Ngachu, Lama Ngapchupa, the Ngapchupa, Lama Ngapchupa, the Nala, the Lapcha Mambo Yure, then the it's similar to that. If it's you're going to give a teaching, you ask the teacher. If you go to another teaching, is that in the 50 verses?
It's like,
I didn't see that.
And
yeah.
Maybe like giving classes like openly, you know.
Oh, no, none of that was caused. That Rinpoche is encouraging that. He wants Geshe La to have something to do while he's here.
He's a really good teacher, and I enjoy, you know.
The Geshe Nima Kon Peke Chi Yabudu.
Peke Jangwa Yina, Kanju Tenju Kanya Puyitu Yuadis. Peke Chi Sazuna, Pesukalu.
So if you can learn Tibetan, the Kangjer, the pronouncements of Lord Buddha, and the Tanjer, the authentic Indian commentaries, are all in Tibetan. So you would be able to read those books. So it's very good if you're studying Tibetan.
And kon shegdu gangesine de chran de kon sawe lama geshe nima yomare. Then kon de digre digamare chran triwa jama son. Then kon de gongel mepa chi segdu jun yomare.
He says, I can't teach. I'm not a teacher of Tibetan. I don't even understand English, so it's not something I teach.
Okay. I really want to
He's very good. Very good. Thank you very much, Coleman.
Yeah.
I remember one time, just real quick, and we'll get out of here. But I was younger. We were at the old center, and I wanted to go see another teacher teach. And it was really unnecessary. It was more like, I wanted to go see a bunch of people, really. It was a very social kind of teaching place that I like to go to. And I remember going upstairs and being like, asking him, would it be okay if I go to this? And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, because there's something I'm definitely missing in the Buddhism. So you should go to some other teachings. And it was somebody not qualified at like in the same way. So he was like, yeah, I'm sure that's probably a really good idea. I got so angry. I remember stormed out of there and I went to the teachings and then realized like I had a jewel I was with and I left to go. Why? Somewhere else? Like I was little, you know what I mean? So it was just a little lesson that I had. But in this case, it's not the case. But I know the feeling you're feeling because I felt it after I did that. So that's why I'm bringing it up. Concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. Wanda. And then we'll probably just go right in. As a result of some of the medications decreasing, it's less drowsiness. So someone who doesn't sleep before, now there's like more energy than just more and more and more energy. So we've got to like somehow get him to not push it sometimes a little bit. What'd you say? Okay, he's insisting on going up the stairs. So he's done it a couple times, very successfully. But anyway, the fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In the heavenly realm of Tibet, surrounded by a chain of snow mountains, the source of all happiness and helpful beings is Tenzin Gyatso, Chen Resigan person. May his life be secure for hundreds of kalpas. I pray for the long life of the precious Kensar Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche Gutsi Shapi Denama. Okay, decent. Thank you very much, everyone. So let me close this. Hold on.